following is a presentation of WYM, Westminster Youth Ministry. God has given us emotions. The way that we feel comes out through these emotions. This can be a good thing. However, oftentimes, our emotions can lead us to say and do things that we don't put much thought to. In this study called I've Got This Feeling, Emotion in the Bible, we are going to spend this semester looking at different types of emotion and seeing how the world views those emotions and what is the biblical view. We hope you enjoy.
A very special thank you to Dan and Abigail for hosting us tonight, so give them a round of applause. We are greatly, greatly appreciative of them. All right, so we're done with Ephesians. We're going to do a topic that's a little bit different because I think it's important for us to think about this. And we're going to look at how the Bible deals with emotion. Okay, now who here has emotions? All raise your hands. Okay, so we all have emotions, and sometimes our emotions do what? They make us do stupid things. Okay, sometimes they make us do smart things. Sometimes they make us do mediocre things. But overall, sometimes our emotions can get us into trouble. So we want to look at how the Bible deals with our emotions and how we can apply biblical principles to how we view our emotions. So tonight we're going to look at the emotions of happiness and joy. But before we do that, Dan, will you open us in prayer?
Sure. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to bring such great young people all together that we can praise you, learn about you, and just love you. Lord, I'm glad that you gave these kids an opportunity to have an awesome summer. Hopefully you give them some great couple weeks, continue to develop their friendships, and then give them the discipline and the mental capacity to do well in school. Lord, I ask that you be a beacon for these young adults to be the example for their friend's life. And Lord, we're just very thankful for the opportunity to be able to praise your name. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, before I split you all into groups, I want to think about how emotions affect us. Okay, so emotions are what? They are?
Chemical reactions that happen in our brain.
Okay, they are chemical reactions that happen in our brain. They're feelings, right? Okay, so nobody like wakes up and says, I think I'm going to be angry at somebody. Well, maybe you do.
I don't know.
Maybe you do. But it's not like something that you just like can like motivate yourself to be angry. Emotions are feelings. They sometimes can just arise and catch us off guard. Okay, so even happiness and joy, we know those are feelings. They're not an idea. They're not necessarily like a conviction or like a decision that we make. It's a feeling. Okay, so in other words, it's an emotion. Okay, a way to tell the difference between an idea and an emotion is that you don't have instant control over your emotions like you would an idea. Okay, so if I had the idea of I think I'm going to go outside and play Frisbee today, I have full control over that. But say someone makes me jealous, that can take over my heart and my mind very quickly, and I may not even be able to realize that it's taking over my heart and mind. For example, you're going camping, okay? Imagine yourself in a tent, and this is an illustration from John Piper, so I can't take credit for this. But you wake up and there's a gigantic silhouette of a bear outside your tent. Okay? He seems hungry. And you don't say, well, let me think about this. There's a bear. Bears are big. Bears are dangerous. Conclusion, I should feel scared right now. Okay? So I will decide to be afraid. Okay? We don't make decisions to be afraid. It just happens. Okay? Now, what God calls us to do is to use our emotions to do what? Just like we do anything in life. What should we do? Use them to glorify God, and we need to react to them in appropriate ways. So tonight we're going to talk about happiness and joy and how those must be understood in light of our love and joy that we find in Jesus. Now, I've only got two sections here tonight, so I'm going to split you all into four groups. Two groups will have the same passage, two groups will have the other same passage, and then we'll just talk about it later. So count off the four for me. All right, let's jump back in here. Let's look at this first section. We're talking about happiness and joy. And I want to start by looking at how the world views happiness and joy, and then we're going to look at how the Bible and Scripture teach us about happiness and joy. So let's look at Luke 15. This is the parable of the prodigal son. If I can get somebody to read 11 to 16 for me. Asa, thank you.
And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property and reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything.
Okay, so where does the son find his joy and his happiness? Okay, yeah. Getting things, stuff. Okay, who here likes to get stuff? We all kind of like stuff, right? Okay. And that's where he found his true joy. In fact, what did he do in order to get a hold of that joy? He did what?
He was dumb.
Okay. Yeah, so he had an inheritance waiting for him. And instead of waiting for that inheritance, he asked his father for it right now and said, I'm going to go enjoy this however I want. Okay. Now, what does this tell us about how the world views happiness and joy? Okay, it can be greedy and reckless. Hearing money can buy happiness.
Hey, I made that joke this morning.
Okay, what else? What else? How about from more of a like an internal perspective? Yes, it says that money will give you happiness, but what about in people's hearts? What does it tell us about how the world views happiness?
It only matters if I'm happy.
Okay. Yeah. So just as the son found joy in things and stuff and bringing amusement and joy by the things that he bought and the things that he paid for, we can do that too. Worldly joys has similar effects on us. Okay. It's a cultural norm to say you do you. Whatever you think is good for you, that's what's best for you. And that's the world that y'all live in. That's the world we all live in. And it's just, again, this idea of you can do whatever you want, whenever you want it. It doesn't matter who you hurt or who you frustrate or make angry. As long as you're happy, then that's okay. And that's the cultural norm. That's what the world is teaching y'all about happiness. Now, I'm not up here to tell you that enjoying things in life is bad. Okay? There are things that God has given to us on earth that are a joy to us. Dan loves to play golf. Okay? Now, golf is not necessarily a bad thing, right? But just like any idol, it can turn into a bad thing. Now, if Dan went and played golf all day and never came home to see Abigail, is that a bad thing?
No.
Yes. Yes, it is a very bad thing. Our hobbies are good things that the Lord has given to us. Some of y'all like painting. Okay. Some of y'all like reading. Some of y'all like playing video games. Some of y'all like cars. Okay. We all are given good things to enjoy. But when those overtake our love for God and our love for others, then they become worldly joys. It's okay for Dan to go enjoy a round of golf, as long as it doesn't mess his family up, mess his time up with God. It's just like any idol. It can take over our lives. Another example. Someone can enjoy having a good time. Okay, it's good to have a good time, right? Everybody likes to have a good time.
I hate happiness.
Except Asa. Asa doesn't like happiness. Okay. What can happen if we are so wrapped up in having a good time? What could be the result of that?
We don't have a good time.
We'll lose the relationship.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if we're only thinking about ourselves and people aren't going to want to hang out with self-centered people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, if we're so wrapped up in enjoying ourselves and partying and, you know, what happens when people party too hard?
They get drunk.
Bad decisions are made, right? Yes. We can drink too much. We can get involved with people that we probably shouldn't be involved in because we're looking to have a good time. We can take advantage of people when we're so wrapped up in trying to have a good time. People can say and do things that are unkind all because they wanted to party when they wanted to and how they wanted to. So just this idea that happiness is what you make it is, in a sense, a lie because it takes away the joy that we can find in the good things. Now, do you see the difference between the party joy and the biblical joy? What's the difference? There's obviously a difference, but what is the difference?
Party joy is self-centered, and biblical joy is centered around God.
Yes. Worldly joy says put yourselves before others. Biblical joy says what? Ephesians 2:3-4 teaches us very clearly that we're to put the interests of others before our own. So when we're only thinking about ourselves, our own happiness and joy, that's not what God wants us to do. Okay. So what was the end result of the son's pursuit of joy here? We know how it ends, but what did he have to go through because of his pursuit of happiness?
He had to feed pigs.
Okay, he had to feed pigs, and then what?
He had to eat pigs.
Then he ate the pig's slop. Okay. So in his pursuit of happiness, he ended up bringing ruin to his life. And that can happen to us. He made selfish decisions. He hurt others. He probably hurt his father by saying, I want this and I want this now. His father probably wanted him to wait for that and enjoy it later. His family's other along the way. And when we constantly put ourselves before others, seeking our own version of happiness, sometimes we can leave behind us a wake of hurt for other people. And that's not a good thing. Now, again, I don't want you to think that you can't enjoy fun things in life. Okay? I want you to enjoy fun things. But don't hear this and say that you can never do the things you like because they are quote-unquote selfish. Again, like I said, it's good to play golf. I like playing golf. I'm not very good at golf. Dan would kill me in golf.
Good job, Ben.
We can enjoy things. But again, when those things overtake your joy for God and for others, that's when it can be a problem. So let's look at godly joy. Somebody read Philippians 1, 18 to 22.
I shall. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out to my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage and now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell.
The root word of joy is rejoice. Okay, and Paul is rejoicing in something here. What is he rejoicing in? I'm sorry?
Proclamation of God.
Okay, yeah. He's rejoicing in that. He's rejoicing in the prayers of other people because he knows that they are caring for him and praying for him. He's grateful, and that leads him to be happy. Okay, when you know other people are thinking about you, does that make you feel good?
Yeah.
It should, because it shows that they care. Okay, so what does this tell us about biblical joy? What does this teach us?
Christ-centered.
Okay, it's Christ-centered. What else? It's not
self-centered.
It's very other-centered, so it's about Christ, it's about others. Thinking about the joy and happiness of others before our own. Okay, it should be found in good things. It shouldn't be found in things that take us away from Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 teaches us that we're to rejoice always. Rejoice always. That is, finding joy. Always. It tells us that it's God's will for us to have that joy. Do you know that God wants you to be happy? You ever feel like God's up there and like he just wants you to be miserable and not have fun all the time? It's not true. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to be happy and to find joy in the good things. This joy, this prayer, and this thanksgiving should be the life of a Christian, is what Paul is saying. Now, how does Paul find joy amidst his circumstances? And remember, he's in prison while he's writing this. So it's kind of hard to think about how he would find joy where he is. But how does he find joy? Because again, joy is an emotion. You know, we can find joy even when we don't feel happy. Gideon, here we go. I'm ready for it, Gideon.
But that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death.
Okay, what does that mean? You knew it was coming.
I said earlier.
What does that mean for you, Gideon?
Well, he knows that he's going to glorify God no matter what.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Now, that's a great answer. He finds joy in knowing the fact that he's glorifying God through what he's doing. He's suffering, and that's not a fun thing, but he finds joy in knowing that God is pleased with him because he's doing God's work. He finds joy in knowing that God loves him and has called him to this work. That doesn't necessarily make it easy for him to be in jail, but he finds joy in knowing that he is bringing glory to God. I want you to imagine that your happiness and joy is like a guest that comes into your home. They show up, they tell you nice things, they compliment you, they buy you things. You know, they buy you a new TV, a new Xbox, a new car. And they're wonderful, wonderful people. Okay, they're really, really nice and very generous. And then they stick around for a little bit. And then they do what? Guests leave, right? Guests leave. So that happiness that just kind of comes and happens and we feel, sometimes it can just go away, right? Have you all ever been having a really good day and then something happens and it just sucks the joy out of your day? You've never had a good day? We need to talk, okay? Yeah, sometimes things can happen where we're just like really, really happy and excited and then somebody says something and it just depletes us, right? It just makes us feel awful. And that's the time when we look back at that guest and we're like, man, I wish that guest were back here. I wish they were here again buying me things, telling me what I want to hear, telling me good things. And we can't force that guest to come back, can we? We can't force happiness to come back. You ever tried to force yourself to be happy? You put on that fake smile that everybody knows is a fake smile? It happens to us. Now, let me ask you this question. Does that mean that even when we're sad, we have to put on that fake face and just smile all the time and pretend like we're happy?
No,
it doesn't. Now, there are times when it's good for you to not let other people know how you're feeling. Okay, there are appropriate times for you to not say, I'm having an awful day, leave me alone. Okay? There are appropriate times to say that, but there's also very inappropriate times. And God doesn't want you to sit there and just fake your emotions all the time. He wants you to work through them, okay? Especially our joy and happiness, because sometimes we find joy and happiness in the wrong things. And He wants us to filter all those things through the lens of Scripture and say, is this bringing glory to God? And am I enjoying the good things that He's given me in a godly, honoring way? Doesn't mean you have to live like a monk and live in a hole and not do anything fun ever again. But what it does mean is think about the things you enjoy. Do these things glorify God? Or do they glorify self? So I want you to think about, what are the things that bring you joy, and what about those things brings you joy? You don't have to have a worship experience when you're reading a book or playing golf or painting something. But there should be a sense in which we're thankful for the things that God has given to us. We're thankful that He's given us things that we enjoy and find happiness in. Because true joy comes from where? From loving Jesus. And He's given us Jesus. And He wants you to be able to find your joy in Him. And when we do that, we can use our emotions of happiness and joy to bring glory and honor to Him. Does that sound good? Is that something that we can think about and apply? All right. Well, amen. Let me close for us. Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening. We thank You for giving us joy and happiness, Lord. We ask that You would help us to use that happiness and joy in a way that's honoring to You. Lord, I pray for each young man and woman in this room, Lord, that You would really work in their hearts. Help us to wrestle with our emotions this semester, Lord, and help us to lay them at Your feet and know that You have our best interests at heart, even when we're going through difficult things or we're feeling weird or whatever it may be, Lord. Let us trust in You more and more each and every day. And pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope this has been helpful for you. Please keep an eye out for more audio coming from WYM.